And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Verse number 13, we see a man that is, all of a sudden, he's got a portion that he's going to want to divide. Maybe it's his inheritance that he's wanting divided. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Hey, I want you to do this. I want you to divide it. And I'm sure he's wanting to hopefully get more because Jesus is going to divide it. And then Jesus is like, Look, I'm not after your earthly gain. I'm not here for you to have earthly gain. So he says, and I like the way he says it, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. He starts to give him a warning. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Is that not something that we need just hung up on our world today? I mean, people, we are, and I can be guilty of it too, we are so much about possessions and what we can have and what we can accumulate that many, many times I believe it does turn to covetousness. And I know that when you think of covetousness, you're thinking about, well, I want what somebody else has so much that I'm willing to do anything for it. I wish that harm would come to them so that I could have what they have. But really and truly, covetousness can go even deeper than that in our hearts, that we're willing to do whatever it takes to get what we want. And that's a dangerous place to live in, and that's what Jesus is warning the disciples as he's teaching here. He says, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for as man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. Ain't it amazing how we can always come up with an answer to our own questions? And we always think that our answer is right, whether it is or not. But this guy's got so much that he don't even know what to do with it all. And he says, And he thought within himself, What shall I do? Because I have no room to where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. Now, he's already got more than he can do with or knows what to do with, but he's going to find somewhere to put some more. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, I think many times people spend their entire life seeing what they can pack up, what they can store up, how much that they can gain, and how much that they can say, Well, I've got more than I'll ever be able to use. And the only thing that ends up happening is their loved ones fight over it after they die. That's what happens with it many, many times. And maybe some of you here in the church have been part of those family discussions that didn't end so well. And you may have siblings that won't even speak to you because of things that were left to y'all. And I don't know anybody personally, so please don't go, Well, preacher's talking about me. I don't know any of y'all. I don't have any clue what's going on. But maybe some of us have experienced that even in our families. Verse number 20, But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Tonight, as I was reading the scripture again before church, and I was looking and trying to figure out where we was going to start at, and I'm still not where I want to get to, but I want you to notice something that a lot of times I think that even the process of preachers preaching, talking about possessions, I don't think there's anything wrong with having stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with having possessions as long as those possessions stay in the right place in your life and in my life, as long as the priority stays correct. Because I want you to notice, even in this scripture, and I'm not trying to make a play on words, this is really how I saw this when I read this scripture. Look what it says. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself. And if you stopped right there and you said, Well, the Bible is saying that I shouldn't lay up any treasures for myself. The Bible is saying that I shouldn't have any possessions. The Bible is saying that I shouldn't have anything. But look what the next word says. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In other words, if you're rich toward God and you keep these things in the right place and you keep it in the right priority, I don't think there's anything wrong with having stuff. But when that stuff gets in front of God or God's will in your life, then it becomes sin at that very moment. Okay, let's be sure we're all on the same page here. Verse number 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Now, I want you to know something. As we read those first few scriptures and we was talking about possessions and maybe getting them out of the right priority and the different things, but I want you to also see here in verse number 22 and continuing on through about verse number 34, we're going to see something right here that God gives us some promises and God gives us some confidence and God gives us some assurance that no matter what's going on around us and no matter, I don't care who ends up being president, I don't care what the economy happens to be, it doesn't matter about any of those things when it comes to what God has promised us. And he's fixing to tell you some things right here. You can be confident that I'm going to provide for you because I love you. Because look what happens right here in verse number 25. And which of you, which taking thought, can add to the stature one cubit? If ye then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? You know what he's saying? Quit worrying about it. Quit thinking about it. Let me take care of you. You can't make yourself one iota taller. You can't take care of the smallest things in your life. So how do you think you're going to take care of the big problems in your life? Just trust me and just allow me to take care of you. He says, quit worrying about it. And I've read this scripture many times in my life because I've told y'all I'm a worrywart. I used to be really, really bad. I'm not quite as bad now, but I used to be really, really bad that I would sit and wonder about the what ifs of every situation that ever come up. I'd like to overanalyze everything, and I would take every avenue and say, well, what if this happens, and then if this happens, and then if that happens, and I could drive anybody crazy, including myself, when the whole time God is saying, don't worry about it. I've got you. I love this portion of scripture that God gives us. We like to look at it sometimes, or maybe we do look at it and say, well, God's telling me I can't have anything. God's not telling you you can't have anything, but God's saying I'm going to take care of everything. Look at verse number 26. If then you be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. You know what? How much time have we spent, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but I'm just going to ask you a simple question. How much time have you spent praying, asking God to provide a need that you know that God already knew that you needed provided? I have. Lord, I need. The Bible says he already knows that I need those things. He's already got a plan in place to prepare and to provide those things for me. And I've yet sat and worried about it and thought about it. And he says, but rather, verse number 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wow, what would happen in our lives, in our Christian lives, in our spiritual lives, if we spent all the time that we think about thinking about our physical needs, our physical desires, our physical wants, if we quit thinking about all of those things and we would seek the kingdom of God in our lives? I promise you our lives would be richer than if we had all of the money that there is in the world. How many of you have met older people? And I say older people because they lived through some tough times and they've been in places where they didn't have anything. And still, yet, they was the most happy people that you'd ever met in your life. They were satisfied. They were content. They lived a simple life. And I believe because in a lot of those situations, they wasn't thinking about all of this stuff. They were seeking the kingdom of God in their lives. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many of you feel that you've been blessed tonight? Amen. Amen. I've been blessed way more than I deserve. been blessed way more. If I started to try to list out my blessings tonight, I don't know how in the world I'd ever stop. If you really sit down and you think about everything that God does for you, when you get up in the mornings and you're able to take a breath, and you go in there and you got clothes to put on, and you got a job to go to, or you got a spouse that you're with, or you got family, or you can sit down in your chair and you can watch. I mean, everything that you do, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, right? Amen. All of these blessings, I know that God has blessed me, and He tells me, I've got you. Don't worry about it. You can't do anything about it, so let me do it. Seek me and seek my kingdom. Verse number 32, listen what he says right here. Let's go back to verse number 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Listen what he says. Fear not, little flock. Let me ask you something. Tonight we're all sitting here, and this scripture really ain't meaning that much to us. It really don't. You know why? Because we're not in want. We're not in a hard time. You got a little money in your pocket, and you got a little money in the bank, and you got food in the cabinet, and everything is going pretty good. And I thank God that He's blessed us to be where we are right now. But I'm telling you, if we were all sitting here wondering what we're going to eat for supper tomorrow or breakfast in the morning, and we read this scripture and we took it from God's word and we applied it to our lives the way that God would want it to apply to our lives, then it would mean a whole lot more to us than it does tonight. But we're reading it tonight, and it's just like, yeah, that's pretty good. That's okay. But you know what, God? I've got money in my billfold, so I'll stop at Hardee's on the way to the house if I need to. I'll get up in the morning, I'll go buy me a biscuit if I need to. But see, and that's good. That's fine. But what I just want you to see is how blessed you are that you have a Father that loves you so much that maybe He provided it through the money that you got in your pocket. But if that money ain't there no more, guess what? He's going to keep providing it no matter what. That's the God that we serve tonight. Listen right here. Fear not, little flock. Why don't you have to fear? For it is your Father's good pleasure. It makes Him happy to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, every now and again, my kids come ask me for money, and I'm like, really? You gonna come ask me? Right, we're in the middle of prom season right now. Good gracious. You know what's worse than having a girl that's going to go to prom? Having two girls that's going to go to prom. So there's shoes and there's dresses and makeup, and I didn't even know all that stuff that comes along with going to prom. Had no idea. And you know what? The Amazon guy, if he actually come in and seen me, me and him would be on first name basis, because he brings me a different pair of shoes every single day to bring home. Somebody try them, we can send them back. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, and we was in there, and I was joking, kind of, last night, and Addie was saying she had this and she had that, and I said, how much are you going to spend on this prom? And Autumn looked at me and said, hush. I said, yes, ma'am, I'll hush. I was overstepping my bounds. But I said that because I wasn't really that much serious. But listen, you know what God does when it comes to our needs? It's not, are you here again? It's like, you're here again. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's not, oh no, here comes that person again. Here comes that one. They want something else. They need something else. He says, no, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We are so blessed tonight that we're so blessed that we don't even know how blessed that we are. Verse number 33, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's continue reading. Verse number 35. So in verse number 13 through verse number 21, it was about covetousness. In verse number 22 and verse number 34, it's about seeking the kingdom. Now let's look in verse number 35. It's about being prepared. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. You know what that loins is? You know, if you think about Bible times and you think about the pictures that you see, and it's mostly like a long robe with a belt on it or something. Well, that girding up your loins is taking this extra cloth and girding it up, tucking it in your belt so that you can run, so that you can work, so that you can do what you need to do. It's so that you can be ready. And that's what he's saying right here. He says, gird up your loins and be ready and have your lights, how does it say it? I'll say it wrong. And have your lights burning. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Be prepared. Verse number 36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Go back and read some a little bit about Jewish traditional weddings, and this scripture will make a little more sense to you about how they would go away and they would get the bride and they would come back. And when they come back, he was saying, and ye yourselves like the men that wait for their Lord. They're waiting for him to come back so that when he get there and he knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants who the Lord, when they come, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Look, all of a sudden the master becomes the servant. But isn't that kind of what's happening right now with us? He is the master. Amen? And he's continually serving us. He's continually doing things for us. Verse number 38. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch at the latest times and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Amen. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, when whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord cometh shall find doing so. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, he's taken the liberty that he was left with, he was taken the authority that he was left with, and he is abusing it. And I'm afraid that there's many, many Christians that are in the shape and in the situation of verse number 45. But verse number 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will point him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of whom they will ask the more. I'm going to stop right there for tonight. Here's where I want us to get to in verse number 48. I ain't going to say that I love my response to this, but I love the way that this makes me take a look at my life and makes me take a self-evaluation of my life. Look at this right here in verse number 48 in the middle of the verse. Of whom... Let me see, of him, let me read it again. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Now, you all said that you were blessed a while ago. You all said that the Lord's taking care of us. I've been excited about the way that God's promised me that he's going to take care of me and the promises that he's given me and the things that he's done for me. But I want us to look here in verse number 48, and it says, to him that much has been given, much is going to be required. What do you think about what God expects out of your life and what God expects out of my life? And how do you think that you're living up to the expectations that could be placed on your life because of what's been given to you? You know, the Bible really is kind of talking, and it kind of gives an explanation of, you know, we asked the question many times of, well, what about people who live in these third world countries and they haven't heard that much about God, or they've never heard about God? And we know that God's Word promises that the Holy Spirit will still deal with their hearts and they will have an opportunity to accept Christ. And however they see that, whether it be through nature, through a missionary, or through the Holy Spirit revealing things to them, I can't answer all of those questions, but I believe with all of my heart that everybody that has ever walked the face of this earth at some time or the other has had to make a decision whether or not they will follow Jesus Christ. And that has been revealed to them in a way that they understood it and a way that they can believe it. Are you with me that far? All right. So now in those third world countries, you say, well, they don't do the things that we do. They don't go to church. They don't do this. They don't do that. But you know what? The Bible is showing us, and it's even answering that question in the middle of this. It says, you know, let's go back and read it so I don't get out of place here. Look, verse number 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So as they're not going to be as held as accountable as some like us. Does that make any sense whatsoever? You're growing up right here in the middle of what used to be called the Bible Belt. I don't know if there's any such thing as a Bible Belt anymore, but right here in the middle of what you could consider the Bible Belt, in a county where you can barely drive for 5 or 6 miles and not cross 2 or 3 churches. I mean, at least 2 or 3 churches. And where the Word of God is available to us and the opportunity to learn about God is available to us. How do you think that's going to measure up with the expectation that God's going to have on our lives? See, it's one thing to sit here and say, God, I thank you so much for your promises. And I thank you so much for the way that you're going to provide for us. And God, I thank you so much for how you've prepared for me. And all of these things. And it's one good thing to do that. But what are we doing with what God has given us and the opportunity that God has given us? See, when I look at my life and I see the expectations that could be asked of me because of the way that God has blessed my life, I'm afraid that I'm not living up to those expectations. I'm afraid that you could sit down and make a list and hold me accountable for a whole lot of things. Let's just look at a couple of aspects in our life. Do you believe that you are meeting God's expectations in your daily walk with Jesus Christ? In your daily life, as you go day in and day out, I mean, you get up and go to work, you go to school, you do whatever you do, do you really believe with the opportunity that you've been given and the blessings that you've been given, how would that measure up in expectations that God could put on your life? I'm afraid so many times, see, you know, I have the opportunity every morning to get up and grab my Bible and read a few verses of Scripture. I don't always take that opportunity. I have an opportunity on my way to work to turn on gospel music or gospel preaching and think about some things and be exposed to the Word of God every single day, but I don't always take that opportunity. I have the opportunity to get down and pray anytime, anywhere that I want to, but I don't always take that opportunity. But you know what? There are people that don't have that opportunity. There's people who are sneaking around with pages. I'm not talking about a Bible. I'm talking about pages out of a Bible. They're sneaking around with it in their pocket or in the bottom of their shoe, hoping and praying that nobody ever knows. And when they pull that out, they are cherishing that Word of God. I've got probably 7 or 8 Bibles in my house, and not every single day do I open up my Bible and read my Bible. But so when you look at how that God's blessed us and God's provided for us and God's prepared us and then the expectations that could be laid upon me for that, I'm afraid I come up short in my daily life. Let's look at another situations in our life. What about in your personal spiritual life? Do you believe that you're following God? Do you believe that you're seeking God? Do you believe that you're talking to God and allowing God to talk to you as much as we could be expected to? Or as much as we should be expected to? Hey, when we look at the things and the way that God has blessed us and God has provided and God's prepared, I'm afraid to whom much is given, if much is required, then I'm going to come up short. What about the opportunities that we have to witness and the opportunities that we have to worship? See, I think that we come to church a lot of times and we don't really worship. I don't really worship. And we have an opportunity to go out into this world and to tell others about Jesus Christ. I didn't expect a whole lot of amens in this because this killed me as God was giving it to me. God was stepping, I would say all over my toes, but it wasn't. It was all over my heart. And he was saying, look at all the opportunity that I've given you. You've been given much. Now, what is required? What about in our church life? When we come into this place, man, we've been blessed with a beautiful place to come and worship, haven't we? I love this place. I really do. God has blessed us. God has blessed us with good church family. As far as I know, everybody gets along. If there's ruckuses going on, I don't know of any right now besides between me and Lynn Weddle. That's a constant ruckus that we keep going. But if there's anything going on, I don't know it. Hallelujah. I don't want to know it. But it, when we have this wonderful place to worship and this wonderful place to come in and be together as church family, but I'm afraid we take it for granted. I'm afraid that we come in sometimes and it's just like, okay, I'm here. I'm taking up my spot. I get my little check mark beside of my name today. And we don't come in here with the true worship mentality. And again, I'm not talking about jumping pews. If the Lord leads you to jump pews, jump high is the only thing I can tell you. If the Lord tells you to run, run fast. Don't ever do it so that somebody else sees you and thinks you're so spiritual and so holy. But if you're doing it under the Lord and the Holy Spirit is instructing you to do that, there won't be no questions asked. It'll be just right. It'll be decent and in order. I don't care if you are jumping into the baptistry. I've seen that on TV a time or two. But the thing of it is I'm afraid that a lot of times we've been given much, but we don't want God to expect much. We don't want God to expect us to give any of our extra time or any of our extra money or any of our extra anything else. We want to give God just enough to say that we did. I know, it hurts me. But he says, to whom much is given, much is required. And you might be sitting here tonight and you say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? What are you wanting us to do? I ain't wanting you to do anything except for live in the place that God wants you to live. And that's in his will, giving him glory, pointing others to Jesus Christ, worshiping him, honoring him, and just being what God's asked us and called us to be. Because I know in my life, I'm real guilty of getting tied up in everything else that's going on. And I've seen it in my life this week. This week at work has been whatever you want to call it. It's been that, okay? We are so busy, and I think I've told y'all this before. I pray for God to bless our business. And either he's blessing it or the devil's trying to kill us. I'm not sure which one it is just yet. But God's blessing. But as God is blessing, I'm letting it just absorb me. I'm letting it just, that's all I got. I give all my energy right there to that. And I come home and I'm too tired to read and I'm too tired to study and I'm too tired to pray and too tired to do the things that I need to be doing. But to whom much is given, much is going to be required. And you say, well, what do you think that's going to be, preacher? Do you think that God's going to stand us all up one day and say, listen, I've done this, this, and this, and this, and you didn't do anything? I don't know. The Bible does talk about a judgment seat of Christ. Look, I'm just going to be real with you, okay? I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. But the Bible talks about a judgment seat of Christ where we'll give an account for the deeds we've done in our body, whether they've been good or whether they've been bad. The opportunity that God has given you, the skills that God's given you, the talents that God's given you, we're going to give an account of how we've used them for him. I believe that 100%. It's not going to be heaven or hell, but it's going to be, hey, I gave you all of this. What'd you do with it? I'll leave you with this. Have you ever had to give an account of maybe some money that you had? Listen, Autumn gives me money every now and again. Not very much, but she'll give me some money every now and again. We went to a ball game the other night, and Addie needed $7 to get in, so she was looking through her wallet, and she had $6. And by the way, I lied. I had another dollar in my pocket that I'd forgotten about. She said, do you have another dollar? And I said, nope, I ain't got one. I didn't pull my billfold out and look at it, but I was in there today when I got to work. So she gave me a 20, and when I said, okay, I'm going to go pay for Addie, and I'm keeping the change. No, you ain't neither. You give me that money. That's the way it is at my house, okay? So I brought it back, and so happens, Addie paid for her and her boyfriend to get in. But I promise you, when I handed that money back to Autumn, I was giving an account for that. Where was the rest of that money at? Or if she knows I got a little money in my pocket, she says, you had $100 at the beginning of the week. Where's it all at now? We've got to give an account for it. And I'm using this as a silly, funny example of really with what God's given you, when we give an account for it one day, are you going to be able to say anything? Well, God, this is what I did. God, this is what I tried to do. Or is it just going to be, yeah, I didn't do much with it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. And God, I know that sometimes, even as I'm teaching, I'm so guilty of what I'm teaching. And sometimes it's not all fun. Sometimes there's some hard sayings. God, I know that you've blessed me. And I'm afraid that I'm not using the things that you've given me always in the correct ways, God. And God, I pray that you'll help me to do that better. I pray that you'll help us as a church, as you have blessed us. I pray that you'll help us to use the things that you've blessed us with for your glory. God, I do pray that you'll help us to realize how blessed we are. Thank you for having scripture for us that lifts us up, and then scriptures for us that make us check in and see where we're at with you. Knowing that you love us enough to help us, God, to make changes in our lives if we'll turn it over to you. In Jesus' name that I pray.